Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. How's everybody doing? It's great to be here today. It's so wonderful to be here with all of you. Welcome, everyone, getting into the chat. It's are you getting in? We got in a little earlier. I want to say hello to everybody also listening via iTunes and all the other podcast outlets, as well as the BTR archives. It's always great to connect with all of you here. Such a wonderful time of connecting. How's everybody doing? Let me know. Call in. The number for call-in is 347-539-5122, and you can press 1 on your keypad that lets me know that you want to get on air and that you have something that you want to say, or maybe you want to ask. Maybe you have a reading. If you do want to get on air, please press #1 on your keypad, okay? That will let me get in queue. Hi, everyone in the chat. Hey, John, Tamara, guests. Welcome, 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 welcome. Going to have an interesting show today. We have some of them have been on before, but they're coming on in a different way. So it'll be interesting to see. We have Detective David Love coming on with us later. And he's a contributor to the Sedona Journal of Emergence. He co-authored a chapter for the best-selling series Adventures in Manifesting and Soulful Relationships with Lynn Rose, who I know, and Bob Doyle, who's also been on the program. So we'll be diving in. He's also got a book out, The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories, Illusion of the Body, Introducing the Body Alive Principle, and Abducted Dreams, What to Do When Your Child is Missing. So, So you guys want to hang around for that, for the second half of the program. And for the first half, we're going to dive into some questions and, of course, get to your calls and also as well. And I'm in Southern California, and it's kind of overcast by the beach here, but I am loving it. I am so loving this weather. Again, the number to call in is 347-539-5122, 347-539-5122. And I want to just make sure in the chat, do I have sound? Do I have sound? I am live. If anybody can put it on Facebook, we're live now. Denise calling in all the way from Australia. Good morning. Good morning, Denise. Hi, Lara, John, Crystal, Tamara, and welcome guests. You're welcome to listen by phone like a lot of people do. Let's see. But also, you can also use that to call in. And that number again, 347-539-5122 and press 1 on your keypad. Got to remind everyone, got a workshop coming up in person in Santa Monica, California, Prana Healing and Bioenergy Alignment. So it's energy healing techniques and focusing on local, non-local healing, distant healing, and the modality of directed or non-directed. And if you have any little inkling that you'd like to do this, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, or if you're friends with me on Facebook, there's on the Awakenings with Michelle Mache page and my profile page, there is a link to the workshop, or you can just check it out at Eventbrite. I want to let everybody know that. So let's going to dive in a little bit here before we get to calls. Now, we did have, I just want to really briefly say, I had a Mary, I know you're listening out there because you've got some relationship issue. I've got that. It's much better if you call in with these kind of questions. But looking overtly, this is something that can be worked out, but you're working out through some major patterns this year. And if this person doesn't turn around and kind of stop the lying, then you, it will be for sure over by the end of this year into mid next year. So you guys are kind of on a testing period right now to see, you know, if you can work. You know, one of my friends told me, you know, she's been married many years, and I kind of, you know, did a little research on this, people that have been in long, long-term relationships and healthy, not, but they say, they always say, well, you'll go through stuff that you think, oh, I can't get through this. I'm not going to be able to do this. We're not going to make it through this. And then you do. So, but it takes two. It takes two. And right now is a really, really good time to do some counseling, inner work, therapy, whatever, and work through those patterns that keep coming up that are creating things that you don't want. The unhappiness, the unrest. And people, you know, when they lie in relationship, it's never about you. It's about them. Same with cheating. It's always about the other person and what they're going through, their wounding. And it just depends how much people want to work through their stuff, because it will always manifest in another way. So best if you could call in. Otherwise, and by the way, you said you got hurt and said many things that you had should have never said. Eh, big deal. Words are not the reason to leave. You know, if somebody, everybody's going to lose it every now and then. You're going to lose your temper and say something, especially when you're hurt. But if that person can't handle that, that's a problem. That's not your problem. That's his problem. So if, you know, because if you're blindsided by something, probably peace and love isn't going to be the first thing that comes out of your mouth. And that's got to be okay. You know, go to my website, selfandlight.com, and there's some great tools there for transition. And I also write a lot about, since I'm also a bereavement counselor, I write a lot about loss, you know, and change, which when we're blindsided, when somebody is in, you're in a relationship and someone has done something to betray your trust, they lied to you, they emotionally cheated or physically cheated, you know, whatever the case may be, there is a loss there. The relationship is no longer as it was. And so you do go through that cycle of grief, you know, shock, anger, disbelief, sadness, wanting to get the person or the object, the person back or the relationship back. And you'll cycle through that a bit. And so anytime in any relationship when there's been damage done, part of the healing is people, especially the person that did the betrayal of trust, or in this case in the email, the lying, they have to be willing to hold the space for what they contributed. And it's a really, really high level of awareness and consciousness if somebody can really hold the space and work through and take full accountability, even while they're being yelled at. You know, so hang in there, Mary. You know, go to my site, get the tools, selfandlight.com, and help yourself cycle through this. And you may, if he's such a great man, great relationship, and he cares about you, he'll help you move through what you're going through, and he'll want to do some healing. I call it amends, but he'll want to do something even on a friendship level to get the relationship back to even better than it was, right? So it's not a level of consciousness, it's the human part of us. You're going to cycle through that process of grief, or cycle of grief. It's just, it's going to happen. A lot of people say, why am I feeling this way? Or I should, you know, I shouldn't feel this way. No, you should feel this way because you happen to be a lovely human being. And the presence, the physical presence of has changed, whether it's a natural denser physical death where someone's no longer here physically, that's missed, or there's such a change in the relationship that it looks and feels different. There's something, a big, it's like having a table with four legs and one of the legs was pulled out. You know, Tamara's putting, trust will need to be rebuilt. Yes, and that takes time. And what Tamara's saying, cycles of grief, And Divine Mystic is saying allowing for the cycle of grief is so important. You got to allow it. A lot of people want to put I'm sorry, I love you, put it under the carpet, rub. No, you got to go, I'm sorry, you got to go through all of it. And even the anger part, you know, people get into it. I call these little bliss bunny, you know, it's a spiritual bypass to think that anger, there's something wrong with anger or the denser, heavier emotions. Don't want to live there forever, but anger is very, in fact, when you're angry, it's, you know, eventually it's towards ourselves. So, you know, there's accountability even when we've been, you know, a victim of something, when something's been perpetrated to us, or like Mary said, was blindsided. And I've been there. So I know what you're going, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know what you're going through. But the empowerment comes not, we didn't cause this. The victim or where something's done to you, you never caused it. But there is something in your template. There's something in the family of origin. There's something in the blueprint that did draw this experience to you for whatever reason, you know. But we are victims. You know, there is a perpetrator and there's a victim. We do have things happen to us that should not have happened to us, or we didn't deserve it. So sometimes when we have something happen to us, it's not to say, what did I do, or I deserve this, or what did I do to pull this in or draw this in? It's the bigger picture down the road is, no, I didn't deserve this. It shouldn't have happened to me. But it did happen to me, so now how am I going to grow from this? What am I going to learn from this? Now, that's down the road. You still got to go through your process of grief. It's a cycle, and it's not linear. You hear me saying cycle. Some people start out right away with the anger, and then they go to the shock. Some people start with the shock. They state, I can't believe this happened. I can't shock to disbelief. And then the sadness comes in, and you're in sad. And then all of a sudden, wallop, anger, you know. And then, well, this can't be true. Maybe it isn't really happening. You know, let me change it. So it's not – emotions were never – energy and emotion, they're never – were meant to be linear or nice and neat. It's an energy. It's to be aligned to. It's like a wave. You ride a wave. You surf the wave. You learn how to manage the energy, but you can never, even when you're alchemically changing something, it's really a transmutation. That energy transforms into something else. You know, grief transforms into a beautiful painting. Anger transforms into creating an empowering program. Right? It's, but the energy is still the same. And that's what really earthy people, earth, we have to understand that a fiery message, like I get impassioned, you know, about something. But someone could say, oh God, you're so angry about that. Why are you so upset about that? But it's what you do with the energy. It's how we use it for healing ultimately. Like we're here to experience and express all emotions. And the degree that you can do that, like a fine instrument, a stringed instrument, not too tight. You don't want it too taut. You know, in fact, taut is okay. You don't want it too tight and you don't want it too loose. There's a right balance between enough looseness and the flexibility, openness, and enough rigidity to hold stuff in place. Not rigid, but some kind of structure, you know, enough form and formlessness. So right now there's a lot of shifting going on, which will be causing changes. Remember, shifting is not the change. When we're shifting, we haven't yet changed, but there's the energetic action. The energy is moving. The gears are going. And so I would say use this time right now, and especially with all these the retrogrades that are happening, especially Mars and Mercury, the dance that those planetary energies are doing upon us. They're part of us. Remember, the planets, nothing's happening to us. It's the part of us that's influencing us. It's really kind of requiring people to re-listen, redo, observe, go deeper. Maybe there's blips, but they can be turned around. But this time is also saying, speak your truth. Don't overly censor. That's why a lot of people are getting in trouble right now. They're going, oh, I said this and I shouldn't have, or I did this. No, maybe you should have said it a long time ago and now is the time. So it's also to look at the deeper relationships. Or is a relationship really that deep, or is it surfaced? You know, you need. Here's the thing I've really required, not only of myself, I'm learning to say I'm sorry more, opening to that, but to have people in my life that don't, that can say they're sorry, whether friends or family or, you know, significant other. But I've been looking at that. What people around me, if, when they make a boo-boo, can they say that? Or do they sweep it under the carpet and try to be so spiritual about it that they, I spoke my truth. You know, I meditated on this and I spoke my truth and this is what I think. Meanwhile, they've left, you know, emotional pollution behind and debris behind. So we have to be responsible for what we're putting out there into the universe. Bottom line. You know, it's like if you emotionally pollute, it's okay, but you have to at least admit that you polluted. You can't pretend that you didn't pollute when your emotional exhaust is causing everyone around you to choke. So that, since 2009, this is, and it's going to get churned, it's going to get more, it's going to get revved up even more because the constructed ego is being squeezed like toothpaste so the soul can fit in, so the soul can come in. You know, somebody wrote me the other day saying, as I was writing on signs and symbols, and Tamara caught him, lovely Tamara, little empowerment nudger there. And they were saying, oh, well, I prefer my signs to come in the way that I like them, or my openings. You know, and I'm like, but that's the ego, because the soul likes uncharted territory. The soul doesn't mind uncertainty, because in the land of the soul, there really is no uncertainty. You know, the higher self knows where you're going. It also just trusts the road. It trusts, it just, because it knows the destination. It says, you know what? You know, we're on the road to Monaco, but we can get there a lot of different ways, or Aspen, or wherever you're at, you know, Montana, or we're going to New Jersey, you know, wherever, you know, we're going to Queensland, you know, we're going to Adelaide. It doesn't matter. Do I take I-5, 405? Do I take Interstate 10? You know, what route do I take? The 210, you know, what doesn't matter? There's multiple routes. So sometimes I think as human beings, the lower aspect of our being, we get very caught up in the route, that we map this route and this is the way that it's going to go. And no, you can't. You the root is going to change. The destination, maybe not. Especially if you're aligned. The more aligned you are, you know where you're going. But the root is going to be a little different. And sometimes it's a route that's very, you know, interesting landscape. Sometimes it's a little barren. And Denise, that was for you, Queensland and Adelaide. That was for you. I lived in England. I was trying to think of the highway out there, Autobahn. I was trying to think of the highway in England. Those lovely roads. I always loved driving out in the road. Out more in the countryside, it kind of unnerved me because I had to keep remembering to drive on the other side of the road when I lived in England. And then Paris, oh my God, I love Parisians. I have French in me. My family has relatives in Le Mans. But oh my God, they do not wait for you on those roundabouts. You know, you have got to go. It's like, I remember waiting and my friends screaming at me in the car. No one's going to wait. I'm just waiting for them to, because in the States, people allow you to come in. You know, they allow you to come in. You know, maybe one or two cars don't, but eventually, oh yeah, my Mystic Paris is blooming nuts. How do they do? Yeah, the thing is, nobody, you got to nudge. There's no waiting for the opening. The opening, a car will speed up, literally speed up. And that kind of, you know, it's interesting, right? Because it's all energy, right? So you have to align to the energy that's present. That's the flow. you know, a lot of times, especially in the States, people think, oh, flow means this very easy pace, like I'm peaceful, I'm calm. No, everything is flow. But is it can be fast, slow, it can be choppy. The wisdom, the enlightenment, the higher level of consciousness is, you know, you keep aligned to your signature frequency, your soul signature, as I like to call it, or your the signature frequency of your soul. But you align to the flow that's there, just like in driving. You can't say, oh, my frequency is, you know, 25 miles an hour when everyone's going 65 or 85. That's part of the thing. That's an ego thing. See, the soul is very malleable, flexible. Our spiritual essence is. It will morph and take shape and form, out losing the integrity of its true blueprint or nature, but it will align to whatever the flow is. That's what weather is, you know. So in one way, with all these retrogrades, we're really learning how do we align to flow without resisting it. How do I align to what's happening instead of saying, this shouldn't be happening to me. Why is this happening to me? I don't want this to happen to me. Everything was going so well, and now this happened, you know. Or, why? Or we go, oh, my God, everything, you know, was horrible, and I'm so used to working so hard, and now things are easy. I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. So, see, we as the ego part of this, because it's the part that keeps the status quo, and part of feeling safe is, I got a handle on this. I know how to deal with this. I know what's coming up. That's what the ego says. And so it keeps us in this motion of keep the status quo, because we learn to navigate this part of the road by driving this way. But life throws a curveball, you know, changes happen. So the key is, can never get rid of the ego, and we don't want to. I mean, that's a very important part of our psychological functioning, our inner psyche. But to have systems within our nature in place that we can realign if something is not been going well for a long time and all of a sudden we have smooth waters, to say, well, this is the flow, not to hold on rigidly and say, I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall. I don't trust this. Everything's going well now. What does that mean? It means that's the flow you're in right now. And also, if things are a bit choppy and there's a lot of trauma, drama, or you're going through a lot of challenges or opposition or health issues, not to say this is all there is. Bottom line, it's that wonderful saying, this too shall pass. Everything's good and wonderful, this too shall pass. Everything's horrible and challenging, this too shall pass. Ultimately, and that's that Buddhist principle, ultimately what we experience is determined by our inner connection and what we're experiencing inside. And the soul so knows this. This is why it's so important to connect on a soul level and to align more to our true nature, our spiritual nature, the eternal part of us. Okay, I'm going to get to got callers. I'm going to get to you. I just wanted to read. We had a call. We had a dream come in. Did I? Lovely James. Where are you? Where are you? There you are. I love his thinking. Now, I love this, and I really wanted to make sure I could get to this question. Hi, Michelle. I understand that the individuations of God, in quotes, might wish to experience dark evil in a lifetime, but if it is a conscious soul choice pre-incarnation, does it follow that the soul adds bad karma or proceeds into purgatory following physical death? I love this question, James. See, these are all belief systems, so and they're based on duality. I, from my metaphysical and understanding, training and awareness and working with the guides and oversouls and opening the thought, the all that is, when I'm channeling, I'm as much as I can, I'm trying to move into that space, and even saying space creates duality, I'm trying to adjust, align, open into the awareness. We could call it a place, but let's say awareness or consciousness, dimension, level, all of those connotate duality. But still part of me is dual. You know, there's a polarity plane taking place. But trying to open to the where there is less to no duality, no extreme in the polarity plane, which means that there really is no evil. Because dark and light, as I perceive and in channeled understanding, is what is missed or ignorant or isn't yet in form. So that's why, you know, in some of the processing I do with my clients, we say out of the darkness comes the light, and from the light there is darkness. Without the darkness, there is no light. So when we are in this polarity plane universe, on this level, this dimension, but there are dimensions that there is no separating out. So there is no polarity. See, because there's polarity, then we have good, bad, hot, cold, sad, happy. So we are playing this out. The individuation aspects of God, the all that is, and that's the term of the energetic principle of creation, creator and creation both, the pranic life force animating energy, prana, which I'm doing that workshop on prana, is the intelligence. It's not just energy. See, within the energetic matrix or matrices, there is intelligence. Within the resonant fields, the morphogenic fields, there is in resonance. There is the formlessness. So if we think of there's this formlessness that then begins to take shape and form, which is individuating out. So if we see God or the all that is as formlessness that then begins to take different forms or shape and form, by the time it gets into the actually seventh down dimensions, it's not until we start getting into the upper dimensions of the ninth center, ninth chakra, ninth dimension up and into the 12th, it's a synthesis. There's no separation. Everything is a separating out. So because on the earth plane, this is a dual world, we have polarity. You know, in truth, there is no duality. Like temperature is just temperature. But as we dial down into density, into more density, temperature becomes hot, scalding hot, boiling. It becomes lukewarm, right? It becomes cool. It becomes cooler. It becomes cold. It becomes chilling, you know, chillingly cold. So what we can look at is what we look as dark or evil is misplaced energy, misaligned energy. It's wounding. Now, whether we want to say that wounding is only from this childhood or dimension, family of origin, or beyond, other dimensionally or past life, see, we all come in with original wounding, but that's where our gifts are. In the regular Bible, they call it sin, which if you look in Latin, means separation, separating out. So our original wounding is feeling separate from source, from feeling disconnected. And if you look at anything from people lying to somebody, or any time we do, you know, these little things against each other, these transgressions, do the more heinous crimes, because we're disconnected. We're disconnected from our soul. We're animating disconnected, and so we're in this high level of fear that breeds all kinds of bizarre behaviors and beliefs and acting out. But again, because there is no judgment, there's no right or wrong in the non-dual universe. Everything has gotten played out in polarity consciousness. So if we have a cop, we have a robber. So we call it these names. We've made these names up. You know, we have someone murdered, we have a murderer. You know, we have a person that hits, you know, the puncher, the assault, the one that got assaulted, you know, the victim, the perpetrator. So we have all these. What I can say is that we evolve in consciousness, the polarity, the extremes of the polarity begin to shrink, and we go more into the center. And these things, these extremes are dropping off and will drop off. So a conscious soul does not, again, a soul does not sit in a classroom or something and say, now I'm going to be a bad person in this, you know, because we have good, bad, right? I'm going to be a mean person or a bad person. I'm going to be a murderer. No, you do not sit and just do that. All of that, if you ever, I don't care what level, what dimension, what past life, all of those kinds of behaviors are coming from a deep wounding and a disconnection from the soul and not a remembering that they are of spirit. But in saying that, they are meant to be here for the time being to be played out because of the polarity. They're holding the other polarity. We don't have healers unless we need healing. So it is an understanding of the God is I am that I am. So I am that I am. It's the understanding that we're all playing this out. You know, people can say it's God getting to know itself through these experiences, through these oppositional experiences. This is why part of the converging flow that we're in, the Great Awakening, is that we decided, not we sat down and decided, yes, Tamara, that's a good point, more integrated. It's not that we sat down and decided, it's just that the impulse now is towards reality, real. You know, I always said this with my clients that, you know, that work at network, you know, television studios. I remember, I don't know what it was in the 90s, I said that we're going to have more shows called Real Stories, Reality. Oh, no, we're not going to have more reality programming. No, that's just because of the writer's strike. It's going to go back to scripted TV. And I said, no. And I even did a series called Real Stories, Real People, which it didn't. It's interesting. It didn't get picked up by the production company that I was pitching it to and working with. But 2-3 years later, and the show is still on, I don't remember what, the tagline is Real Stories, Real People. Because it's by... I said, no, the pull right now is not that there's not going to be scripted TV. I love that, you know, or films, you know. But it's the consciousness saying we want real, reality, authenticity. Look what's happening in the, you know, American political stream. It's not about the people, and it's not even about what they're saying. It's the emphasis, the pull is towards unification. We can't be unified when we're lying or pretending, when we're posing. We're not unified. It has to be real deal. In other words, if I hate you or want to call you a racial slur, that's real deal. Say it. Better to say it than think it, and it stays stuck in the astral plane. It's polluted. Better to say, I have these feelings. Okay, that's your feeling. Whatever. Get the charge off of it, or there's healing that can be done. Remember, healing is simply means wholeness, coming back to wholeness. Like Tamara said, the stream becoming more integrated. So because of that, a lot of these beliefs, ideas that we're going to change, religious dogma will be changing, is changing, even spiritual beliefs or principles will be changing to hold the bigger picture, the next level of vibration. So we started this, some people say in the 60s, I say late 80s, and that harmonic convergence was the harmonizing, the coming together, the integration. We're in the converging flow part. So in the harmonization part, which we're still in, to move towards unity, to move towards integration, to move towards balance, not the extreme and polarity. And you can see certain things kind of dropping already by the wayside. The converging flow, so the harmonic convergence is a part of the awakening. We're still in the harmonic convergence. Part of the harmonizing, though, that we've moved into within the awakening is this converging flow where everything seems to be happening at once, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all happening. That's part of the awakening. It's all coming up. what you don't want people to know, what you don't want to say, the wounding, the kissing, the love, the light, the hugs, the empowerment. It's all coming up, though. So there really is no... when we incarnate, it's a vibrational frequency. It's a configuration that is beyond analytical thinking or forethought or creating. We're not sitting there planning our lifetime. It's unfolding through resonance and coherence. It's unfolding through frequency. This is why if you want to heal anything, you can't just heal it intellectually or mentally. You have to heal that vibrational frequency, which means you have to deal with emotions. That's why emotional repatterning is so important. Energy and motion. You have to heal what you feel. So our beliefs are based on what we feel. It's not the opposite. It used to be thought it was the opposite, that, you know, our beliefs create our feelings. No, our feelings create our beliefs. If I feel unsafe in the world, if I feel people out to get me, then I create a belief system around that, and then I posture myself there. But it's the feeling, it's the disowned feelings that create what we have. James, I love your questions. I hope that makes sense. I'd love to hear from you. 347-539-5122. What do you think? Am I off track? You got a different point of view? Or do you want to chime in? Anyway, 347-539-5122. And let's get to our first caller. 323-638, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program. Oopsie. Okay, it's not coming up. Okay, I'm not sure what, let's see. Talking about the retrograde. Okay, I'm going to refresh because I've got you unmuted, but you're not coming up. You're not coming up for some reason. Could be my internet really slow. That's not a good sign. Well, it is a sign. How's that? It's a sign. It's what's happening. Okay, I'm going to try to get back to you. Gosh, callers, hang on. Hang on there. 347-539-5122. And you can also type in the chat your question. Let me maybe open another browser and see if you will come up because I unmuted you. Not coming up for some reason. I can do it in another way. I love the questions, email questions, to get back to that while I'm waiting to see what happened. Tamara, can you hear me in the chat? Can you guys hear me? Do I have sound? Let's see. Because chances are if I don't have sound, you guys are hearing me by phone, but I lost the connection. Do I have sound? Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, let's see what's going on here. What's going on? What's going on? So I'm typing it in the chat. Denise, can you hear me? You guys, do I have sound? Okay, let's see what's happening. Hello, everyone. I just had to reboot. I'm hoping you guys can hear me or that I have sound. I'm not. Wow. Lar or Divine Mystic, can you guys hear me? Let's see. There we go. Okay. Boy, this is something like this has not happened in a long, long time. Keep saying looking for networks. Okay. Well, I'm just thinking that you guys can't hear me in the chat as well, as I'm not getting any response from my crew. So let's try again. Mm. Connected. Okay, I'm connected to the internet, so I don't. There must be something going on with BTR then, because you guys aren't able to hear me. So sorry for this. I think that I'm still streaming. I just checked my internet, and I'm good to go. Hopefully, you guys are hearing me. So sorry about that. I don't know. It's not on my end because my internet is working fine. So there's some strange glitch happening. And I'm not quite sure what to, let's see. Reconnecting to server. Bear with me, everybody. We've got some kind of strange little glitchy here. Can someone send a message to Scott? Can you see us in the chat? Now I can. Okay. I'm not seeing the chat. It's crazy. I've emailed her. Thank you. So what was happening, you guys? Now you guys are back. Wowzer. I've called in too. She doesn't see us. I think she's seeing the chat. We hear you. I've called in. Oh, good. You hear me? No, the chat, everything was like totally stuck. And now the switchboard has disappeared. So I'm hoping to get that back. There is everybody. Okay, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm going to try to, we could hear you the whole time other than the reboot. Okay, we're back. I don't know what was, it just, everything disappeared. It's a glitch. I don't know if my internet went down, but when I checked it, it was okay. Well, good, you guys could hear it. Denisha's laughing. Thank God for the archive. Okay, let's see what we can get to question-wise. So sorry about that. Our guests will be calling in a few minutes. Hopefully they'll give us maybe like 12:50. Unflappable. Well, Tamara, I was beginning to wonder when this one, beginning to kind of worry. I was like stumped. This retrograde quite a doozy. Yeah, because Mars and Mercury both. Okay, let us get back to 903. Here we go. 903-556. You're a trooper. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle. How you doing? This is Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
Question. Maybe you can help me about finding employment if I'm going to get a job lead anytime soon.
Okay, let's look at that. Okay. The first thing that I hear is, can you, I feel like you're going to have to, you will, but I feel like you're going to have to go for something different, maybe something different than what you were doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the tech industry, so out there.
You are, okay. So if you can look outside, it's saying to go for something different. I feel employment, okay. I feel a job coming in but I don't see you staying there. I feel something is coming up probably in the next couple months, but I feel like you're going to stay with that temporarily and then you're going to end up getting something else. There's something you're needing to refine, Jonathan, with your job search. I almost feel like you're going to somehow change the area of your work. Let me ask you, are you going for something new, something different?
It's been a while since I have a job. I'm a software engineer, so I'm open to anything right now.
Okay, what else do you do though within the software world or engineering or IT world?
That's all I do. I've been doing blogging recently.
Okay. And are you blogging on that?
Yes.
See, I feel, okay, good. Keep doing that. I feel like you ultimately want to do more consulting or more project-based work. So what I'm hearing is definitely do that and do that on the side. But start that now. Start putting that out for, helping people with their IT problems and stuff like that. I'm really hearing you need to go in that direction. Part of you doesn't want to go into a big corporate thing again. See, so you've got a little counter-intention here. So if you appease both parts of you, the part that says, oh, I need a full-time or real job, quote-unquote, while you're doing your blogging and you're developing your consultancy side, I feel that you will get a job pretty quickly. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I need.
Okay? I hope that helps. Pardon me?
All right, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hi, 323-638, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Michelle, it's me, Angela.
Hey, Angela, welcome. Thanks for hanging in there.
Oh, thank you.
Got a little bit of time because I'm trying to see if our guest is here and get our guest on, but we had some wild,
okay.
Well, you were hearing everything.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a Mercury retrograde thing.
Mercury and Mars, little tango there, yeah. Anyway, what's your question?
I was wondering, okay, my question is, so after I talked to you last week, tomorrow I'm going to, have a California driver's license. This is in dealing with the scammers.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of work regarding notifying authorities. I've notified FBI, U.S. Postal Inspectors, a lot of agencies, Facebook, Google,
right,
banks, because I have a lot of information. Some witnesses came forward to me, and I'm pooling a lot of information together. So tomorrow, it takes a lot of work to get a California driver's license number changed, even if you have proof. So what I'm going to do is get a Nevada's driver's license instead, because I have a Nevada residency, and I figured best way. Yeah, okay, I just wanted to see what you see intuitively. I think I made such a big stink about it on Facebook. I kept posting scam alerts. So it's just anything connected to my name that is linked to rentals, people know to steer clear of, because I warn them I'm not selling or doing anything here. I'm not offering anything. So if someone's offering something claiming to be me, that's not me. So I was just wondering what you see intuitively, if getting a Nevada's license is a good idea, and I've turned in so much information.
You can. You can. I still see you doing something with the California. It's interesting this happening because you're this divine channel for this. There really is very, very little to difficult recourse for people that have been, wrongdoings perpetrated on them due to fraud, victims of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get it undone. You know what? And actually, this might be a question because our guest is also a private investigator, detective.
Oh.
So I'm wondering maybe to ask him. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Oh.
Okay. So, because that's kind of right up their alley. But because I still see it being handled on the California side. So whether you persevere and get an actually new number, I do see you persevering with this. I'm hoping you're writing this down of what you went through and what to do, because I think that's something really, a service you could be passing on to someone else at some point.
I had
I had a teeny tiny little bit of fraud, just with somebody taking my credit card number, not even the card, the number, so many years ago, and it was a teeny hassle, but it was nonetheless a hassle. But I did learn how, talking to the fraud division and then to police, how it's just horrible to frustrating for people that have been victims of fraud. It's, it's Divine Mystic in the chat is saying, what a bloody nightmare. It is a nightmare because it's so hard to, you have to prove that you're you. You have to prove that you're you, when you're you. And there's all this stuff showing that you're you, but there's another you out there, and they don't, and it, you're waiting long lines on the phone and, on and on and on. So why don't you wait for that? Because intuitively, I don't feel you're done yet with this. I feel like there's still some stuff on the California side. I think you'll kind of appease or calm it down, but I feel like it's this weight hanging on you. You're going to want to get the California part wrapped up you know, get it sorted and
mm-hmm.
wrapped up. And so I feel there's still, there's, you know, more to do that, even if you do the Nevada, which it definitely looks like you would, you can, you know, that's a free will choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying you have, you will or you won't, but on a personality level, it's looking like you will.
Okay.
So let's see. Why don't you hang on? Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Hang on. You're welcome. All right. We've got Detective David Love, who's our awakened guest for Awakenings Dialogue. Some of you may have remembered he was on before, and we spoke about spirituality and the Rosicrucian Order. He is a Rosicrucian, done a lot of research and work on that. He's a spiritualist, and he's also a private investigator. He hosts his own program as well, Universal Soul Love, with Detective David Love and Dr. Lana Love on the BBS Radio Network. And he seems to be a wealth of information. He also is the author of the book, The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories, and Illusion of the Body, Introducing the Body Alive Principle, and Abducted Dreams, What to Do When Your Child is Missing. So let's give a nice, energetic welcome to David Love. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. This is Laura, actually.
Oh, Laura, hold. Okay, let's. Sorry.
Hello.
Hello. David?
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having
me
on the show.
Oh, yes. I don't know if you were on earlier. We had a little, computer glitch of some sort. But anyway, we're
I
back
did hear
in
that.
Here. You did.
Yeah, I get
going.
Those too. It's inevitable. Technical difficulties.
Yeah, internet. Yeah, and it's like I just had to wait because it wasn't on my end. I had to wait for whatever was happening to unhappen. Let me just give a little shout out. Those of you that are waiting for a question for me, next week call in the beginning of the program. We had to get glitch. It turned to kind of mess things up. But hang on the line, Angela, especially if you have a question for David as well. Especially, I don't know if you heard the fraud one. Did you hear that question of what to do with fraud? Somebody got her. I don't know what exactly happened, but
I did. And look, I could tell you stories about identity theft, and I was I hate the word victim, but I suppose I was a victim of identity theft, big one, many, many years ago, and they're very difficult, and mine was a bigger one. So I'm very familiar with identity theft and identity changing and anything to do with the paper, taming the paper tiger. It's one of my specialties. So.
Oh, okay. Well, before we dive in with conversation, let's just finish with her. And let's see. Angela, did you have a question for Detective David Love? Oops, announcement not coming up. It's doing what it was doing before. I guess her thing was it's hard to change the number, the license.
Oh,
there you are. Angela, did you have a question?
Okay.
Yeah, did you have a question? Quick question for him?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's great that he's on. Well, my question is, okay, so what happened was rental fraud scam. They have my driver's license number, and they're using my name and address and other victims as well to create fake leases to send out to potential victims, except, you know, obviously it's not I'm not renting anything. They're just using my name and address, like my home address. That's why it's just in California, and I want to get a Nevada's driver's license just because I can. And I've reported it to California DMV. They said we can't really do much unless you have proof. And I asked them how long it would take. They said it would take a long time. I filed a report with police department in my neighborhood just to get something on file.
Angela, what's your
FBI.
Question? What's your question? Is it should you get the Nevada license or is this a private investigator focus?
The thing that most the thing that most concerns me is my real name and my real home address is being used on these fake licenses, but I know that it's being done to other victims as well. I'm just wondering, like, so I get Nevada's driver's license. And that house that I was living at.
Okay, that's
sold.
The question, Angela? Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, because you said you've gone through this, is this something you would a private investigator would help somebody with, or is this like, okay, just move on from it? What's your thought?
No, I would, and I
we'll
think
answer.
That, you know, the level of response you give to something like this, the solution is based on the complexity, and I had a case that was very complex and involved having to legally change people's names and numbers and everything,
oh my
entire
God.
Identities. In her case, I would think that maybe changing your driver's license number and maybe changing your address to a mail drop, like a mailbox, et cetera,
yeah.
address, and updating that on all your accounts online, because this is mostly has to do with computer information systems, and changing that on all your driver's license number and your address, even a post office box, which isn't as good as a what they call a mail drop, would be better than and updating that on everything with your mail and most services might be an appropriate level of response to that rather than going through legally changing your name, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good. That's what I've gotten intuitive. No matter how difficult, change the license number. Thanks, Angela.
Mm.
Hope that helped. Did that help?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That
yeah,
helped.
It does.
But that's a very simple
can...
answer, and I don't know, you know, how involved this is. So that's just a very simple answer, and I can't give you
yeah.
a really appropriate answer without knowing the full story.
Yeah. Well, you can always contact them if what is it, universalsoullove.com. Is there another? Is that the best site? David.
Yeah, that's my primary site for my writing, my speaking. You know, I'm a private investigator here in Australia as well, because I live in Sydney now for the past 2 years. But
nice.
Yeah, I mean, people. Right. Yeah, I moved quite a while ago. So.
Yeah. Cool.
But,
yeah, it seems to be a problem. That's why I suggest on social media, don't put your real. It's not vanity, but I don't put your real age, your real birth date. Don't put your real address, you know, even if you have your name, but you really got to, you know, because people weave this stuff together, you know.
Yeah, it is a problem. Privacy
do.
Is a problem, and I do recommend for people generally to protect their information. I don't think for me that's as much of a problem, because I've got a pretty good handle on how information systems work and the paper trails, so I don't worry about that as much these days. But
yeah.
You know, it happens all the time to people, and it's very difficult to unravel and fix, and it's very expensive to fix, and federal authorities and police don't want to get involved.
No, they
you
really
know, it's
don't.
Not a violent
they, but, and
crime.
There's no, there's not, yeah, there, and there's not really a system in place for the victim, you know, to kind of clean it up. It's just so you have to hodgy-podgy, do a little this, do a little that. No, there's no one really helping or walking anybody through this. So, David, tell me a little bit. Now, you've made some changes, kind of in focus in your life right now. What are you doing these days?
So, I guess this is interview part two with you. I was on your show many years ago, maybe three or more years ago, when I wrote The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories. So this
yeah.
is Metaphysical Theories Part 2 interview. yeah, I've been very busy. I'm here in Sydney with Dr. Lana Love. We started Universal Soul Love. I came here about 2.5 years ago, like I said, and started my own radio show on BBS Radio Network, and we've been very busy. Just, you know, and I really haven't actually had any clients per se, paid clients in more than 5 years. I mean, I've been just so busy with everything I've been doing that I don't know. I've been doing a lot of writing online and a lot of, you know, I use the pen name Detective David Love now in relation to anything I'm doing with speaking and writing. So I've connected with a lot of leaders of organizations. We've been working on environmentalism, animal rights advocacy, self building self-sustainable living communities, connecting with people like Michael Tellinger, who people might know through the Ubuntu movement, having to do with contributionism, moneyless society. We've connected with people like Sasha Stone with New Earth Project, World Service Authority, just doing a lot of collaborating, building a lot of alliances, trying to sort of make a difference in the world, I guess, just leave the world a better place. That's been more my focus now since last time I've been on the show with you. That's just been part of my awakening. Like I said, when I came on Awakenings Radio, I was having my awakenings, and I think it's just been a long, strange journey for me.
Yeah.
So,
it's good
really
to hear you say this for our listeners, because it's, yeah, because it sounds like, I mean, you're really being spirit-led. You're really following, that awakening, the spiritual energy is moving you into even more fulfillment. I love, too, that I know Ariel Ford, I was reading through, and some people may know the author of The Soulmate Secret, that a chapter was included in her book about turn your mate into soulmate and how you met your love mate, intended love mate, Dr. Lana Love, and they call it soul synchronicities. Do you find through that meeting that something new, something different opened for you than what you, from where you thought you were going, I guess?
We met Arielle Ford. We did an interview with her more than 2 years ago, I think, when we met Lynn Rose, who still is partners with Bob Doyle. So we were included in that book. I guess it sounded very romantic for a private detective to go all the way around the world to meet with Dr. Lana Love, who's a psychiatrist and psychotherapist. And so they put us in that book. She put us in her book, how to turn your mate into your soulmate and live happily ever after. And that certainly changed my life, coming to Australia and meeting Lana. And that happened at a time when my father had just died. He had died recently, but I had gone to pick up his ashes at the funeral home, and something hit me, and it was one of the biggest spiritual principles that ever came to me, was that life is short and I need to live life now, because I should be dead tomorrow or in a year or 10 years. So time is now to start taking charge of my life and doing what I really want to do and living life to its fullest. So that's when I decided I've got nothing to lose. I've been talking to Lana for 3 months online, and now's the time to make the move. So I did, and I don't regret it, and I don't regret anything in my life. But in terms of living happily ever after, I think that all relationships are difficult, especially soulmate and twin flame relationships, especially when there's a mission. So I'm not going to,
No, I know. I have to
exaggerate the romanticness of it.
I hear you. I'm with my twin flame, so I will say yes. In fact, a book of that needs to come in, because everybody romanticizes. But there's a lot of work. There's a lot of challenge. Very rewarding, but it by no means, it's very powerful energies coming together that are already entwined, other dimensionally in other lives. So it's from the beginning. So it is
right. I'm still not sure if the definition of a soulmate or a twin flame, because years ago I started recognizing many soulmates, and I still connect with many of them, and I'm still professionally involved with many of them, and many of them are my friends. Not every soulmate is meant to be your twin flame. I think twin flame or twin soul is when two soulmates come together for a particular reason in life. But
the twin flame or it's one soul. It's half of the soul that comes together, and then I agree with you. The soul, there's many soulmates, but but not every soulmate is meant to be a life mate. You know,
right.
But
I
yeah,
think maybe that has to do with
soulmates.
Personal growth.
Pardon me?
Yeah,
what?
I think maybe that has to do with personal growth and development. Maybe that having one partner throughout all lifetimes, maybe you need that diversity to learn from different people, and intimate close relationships
like
are one of the best vehicles for learning life's lessons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is so true. Yeah. That I think we have to get, because everything is resonance, right? Vibration. So we attract, you know, we can come in as we incarnate in, you know, in groups, soul groups. So we, you know, so many, if we're having a dialogue, you know, if we're connecting, then there are a soulmate. There's enough resonance there. And maybe that brings us more to our collective nature, you know. Do you think with the work that you're doing that we are moving more into that sphere to perhaps understand ourselves as separated out but not separate from each other, that we're not kind of alone out here in the world?
I think that was one of my biggest realizations that came to me. Metaphysical theories was this one that I call the separate but equal theory of consciousness, because for me, mysticism is just part of it, is the study of consciousness. And I've learned very well that we are drops of water. Our personalities are individual drops of water in the ocean of consciousness. So while we retain our identity, we are a part of the collective consciousness. So we are one, there is oneness, but we're also unique personalities and unique individuals within that. So it's a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
But we're certainly coming closer to understanding that we are not separate. We are the same. Consciousness is always the same. It's just awareness. It's just the bodies and the personalities that are different. I guess it's very hard to understand. But.
No, I think that's really put, you know, a real good light to it, that it's, consciousness is awareness, and of course the more aware, the more conscious, you know. And I think there's a energetic universal within the whole all that is, to that there is that is the impulse, you know, now, you know, towards that understanding and living that out.
Well, we're still in the paradigm shift, or whatever the name you want to give to it. We're in high gear, so I think people are becoming more and more aware and of everything, of themselves and everything outside of them. So this convergence is still happening rapidly, still unfolding. So we'll see what it brings. But, you know, I think while we see a lot of increased, I like to call it dark forces or dark powers, and I don't believe in duality per se, but the light's expanding as well, so equally, I think, and that's the good news. So
absolutely,
these are interesting times.
Yes. Now, I've got a question from Tamara in the chat. What your show that you're doing for BBS, what's the focus? What is this radio show focused on? I've got a question for you in the chat on that.
Okay, well, I kind of mentioned that. We often focus on, our mission statement is environmental advocacy, animal rights advocacy. We talk about relationships, spreading the universal soul love message, universal love. We exploring the hidden mysteries of the universe, personal growth. I guess we have a very broad range, and we tend to get a lot of social activists. We tend to get a lot of what you call light healers. We have mediums on our show, channelers, people from many different fields come on our show, life coaches, of course. So it's a variety, but it is focused.
Well, it fits in kind of all, it's kind of all a similar container. Now, are you doing any more with the Rosicrucians? I know we talked about that before, because I know there's a kind of a mystery, you know, about that order or group or movement or principles thereof.
so I was, I still consider myself a Rosicrucian, and I was with one of the Rosicrucian orders a long time ago, many years ago, as an active member. Mm-hmm. And I started sort of having these deja vu experiences and realizing that, you know, I've been with this order, the secret society, for a long time in other lifetimes, and it was mm-hmm. sort of relearning information that wasn't needed now. And so when I started doing my own meditations, I began to realize that this information would come to me as I need it through my higher self. You know, I have a very strong connection to my higher power now, much stronger than I ever did. So mm-hmm. I started choosing my own inner path. I guess that's the difference between the path of illumination, which is the path of the mystic, which is sort of searching for knowledge outside of yourself, like Kabbalah, the study mm-hmm. of Kabbalah, or the study of whatever happens to be, and enlightenment, which is more of sort of an inner path, an inner journey, like a heart-centered mm-hmm. journey where you're searching within yourself for the answers. So through many lifetimes, I guess I'm because I'm a certified hypnotist and a past life regressionist, I have a strong belief in reincarnation, and I know that I have a mystic lineage, and I in this life decided that it was to my advantage to have that inner journey, and so that's what I've chosen rather than looking for studying occult science.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, I find, and I want to get your take on this, that as we, you know, the whatever Aquarian age, new paradigm, the new emerging consciousness that's coming through, that there is that impulse, from the all that is, and it's coming through all of us, to not over-identify, to look within one's own personal truth or understanding. You know, maybe study principles or beliefs, but take from one here and there, but not to. It seems to me that there's a lessening of studying, in someone else's or another group's or religion, studying but not being over identified with it. It seems like when you get to a certain level, that starts to fall away. It's an aware. You see the similarity in all of them. And then there's something that happens where you're getting your own messages, your own insight. I don't know what your thoughts are of that.
That's very true. And I guess that's probably one of the things I was thinking of mentioning on Awakenings mm-hmm. is that, I haven't read a full book in many years. And I read through the Bible from beginning to end more than 15 years ago. And there were certain books in my life that were very influential. But there's so much information that mm-hmm. you get to a point where the accumulation of information and knowledge is no longer relevant, like you just said. And so most of my insights come from my own, inspirational source. And mm-hmm. I've adopted a policy of non-belief. Maybe that's part of being an investigator. I just exactly what you said. I see there's an underlying truth in all philosophies and religions to me, and I'm sort of an open-minded skeptic where I mm-hmm. hear the information and I allow it, and I either take it on as a belief that's part of my belief system or I don't if it's useful to me, and that may even change as I evolve. So even yeah. the things that I've written in my book may or may not be relevant anymore to the books that I wrote.
Boy, that's the truth. I feel if you grow, that is exactly what happens. I know one big thing I remember in the 80s, learning healing work, you had to, wash your hands and separate the light and, go with the energy coming in. Now with the awareness of what's always been there, the oneness, it's like it's all vibration anyway. So if you just rise above, you get out of duality, stuff doesn't stick to you, It's whole different ball game here. Now, David, I have another question. Tell me a little bit about your. I found it fascinating that you, and I think you sent me something. It's like the cop that's psychic, because I've done some work with as a channel and a medium with some police, but then I've also met a couple of police officers that were also became psychic themselves, you know, and started using that. Tell me a little bit of your world of the mystical and in the focus of consciousness and spirituality, how that's melding with being a private investigator.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that I joined the Rosicrucians many years ago, a secret order or a secret society, was simply because, you know, working in Boston most of my life, in having belief in the supernatural or the paranormal or aliens or anything like that wasn't good for your career. And in the Rosicrucians, there were lawyers and police officers and diplomats, et cetera, in our lodge, which I wouldn't, we don't normally even talk about. But I think that has to do with people don't want to be known for that. They didn't want to be known for that back then. That's probably changed now, but with the shift. But it was easy to be ostracized or persecuted. And, you know, it was a lawyers are known to do character assassinations, and I spent enough time in the courtroom to see that. Yeah. So, but at the same time, I remember going to a conference where there was a very well-known woman in law enforcement who was one of the most spectacular mediums I've ever seen, and she just blew all. We had a private investigators conference where she gave a lecture and blew everyone away. So, investigators, by their nature, are very inquisitive and open-minded. Mm-hmm. So it is a natural tendency to lean in that direction, I think, for many, that curiosity factor. And there certainly was for me, obviously, being a mystic. And I've always relied on my intuition and my higher senses, and it's been one of my best tools. It's kept me out of danger, and it's guided me. You know, my life has been all about synchronicities. So I've always relied on my intuition more than anything else. But I've found that I use both. You know, I use my intellectual processes, my analytical ability to analyze information along with my intuition and my awareness to, for what, you know, what people call discernment, to try to get the best picture of whatever the experience is that you're dealing with. And putting two and two together and just trying to come up with a complete picture.
It is intuitive. Do you find, as a private investigator, do you use your intuition? Is there an intuitive aspect to that?
Yeah, I think that's what I use more than anything else. I mean, I've done a lot of background checks, and I've had a lot of them done on the FBI background checks, and then I found that there is no complete foolproof background check, and I don't care what federal agency does it. The best background check that I've ever found is an interview, a personal face-to-face interview, because I was trained in reading body language and nonverbal behavior, which led to me developing my intuition, facial expressions, tone of voice, you know, becoming sort of a human lie detector. So that just develops over time, over years, so that you're able to start reading people very quickly and getting personal histories on them without them even speaking, because eventually you're just reading energy. Trying to get a sense of where a person's at and how they're feeling, their emotional output, and everything else that you can gather about them to quickly sort of size up a situation.
And do you, it's funny, I had something the other day with a meeting, and I told somebody, like last night I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, there's definitely, I'm not going to be in contact with this person anymore. I'm definitely not going to pursue this. And this morning I got this, like, such bizarre text from them. I was like, oh, my God. I called my friend. I said, we started laughing. I said, we're right. You know, there was something energetically there that was just, it took a while. It took a while in the phone conversation to have it revealed. But, boy, it was almost imperceptible. Is that something like what you're talking about? Because it wasn't like anything horrible or flashing. There was just this bizarre incongruent in this other energy coming out from what he was saying. It was like what he was saying was on top, and then there was something underneath that was coming out. And that's what I listened to, what was coming underneath. Is it something like that, where you're perceiving this person as saying this or that, but something else is going on, or you're seeing a different
right.
or feeling or a different, you know,
yeah.
there's something different than what they're saying?
Yeah, people may say one thing, or they may be doing a particular thing, but there's levels to it, and there's always some underlying information that you need to get to the issues. And it's often not what people are saying. And that's even true in relationships. When you're having an argument with
mm-hmm.
someone or your mate, they're often arguing with you about something that you don't even realize, and they're trying to work out something with you. So you'll never win the argument because you don't even know what they're arguing about, because there's something else going on in their mind, a different experience, maybe from a different time. So our communication is very limited, and we're often not understanding. It's that understanding that brings a greater awareness and a resolution to situations.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, like what you were talking about, like even with an investigation, that anybody could get to that level, that they could kind of be their own investigator, let's say?
Oh, sure. The practical skills. I went to school for I went to college for law enforcement, for criminal justice. The writing skills certainly helped, but it didn't help me in terms of
mm-hmm.
my career as a private investigator. I had learned that all through experience, the basic skills of writing and researching, et cetera. But the intuitiveness, I think you have to have a natural inclination of being a seeker. And it took practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing this for more than 20 years, so I worked hard at it. It's practice, practice,
mm-hmm.
practice. I do
mm-hmm.
think anyone can do it if they're on that path, though, and they have that ambition and motivation
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's still going to take some effort is what I'm hearing, and persistent effort, which is practice. It's probably, like you say, easier if you have that sense of seeking or wanting to know.
Well, it did for me.
Yeah. No, I think that curiosity or seeking, wanting to know, that you know, kind of wanting to dig around, kind of quality, make one more, not just intuitive but aware, you know.
And I
did
get to that odd point where I got to that point where I heard this from a veteran Rosicrucian once, where he sort of looked up and he laughed to himself and he said, "I know nothing." And I was very young back then, and I was thinking, how could you know nothing? You know, you were the lodge master, etc. And now I understand what he's saying, because the more you believe you know, the more you realize you know very little about life and the universe. And mysticism to me is about studying the nature of reality and the Godhead and the meaning of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny level to be at, where you realize you'll never know all the answers that you're seeking, and you have to be okay with that.
Yeah. So. It's kind of a circuit. It keeps going. It's that spiral. There's always more to know. You know, you get to, I find you get to a place where you know so much, it's all clicking, and then the next click is, oh my God, how did I not know this? Or how did I do that?
Right.
Oh, there's so much more to know. You know, it's just, it's
rabbit
like this
hole.
Fullness. The rabbit hole, yeah, fullness that keeps emptying. You know, there's always more. You know, that is going on, especially like you say, underneath the surface.
And of course, the only way you can know more is by being open-minded and being empty and realizing that you don't know everything. Because if you believe you know everything, then how can you ever know anything new?
Yes, yes. What would you suggest to? Because we have a wide range of people that listen, and more and more, a lot of them are budding metaphysicians, budding. Interest in spirituality or, health and healing. and they're just, you the word open, meaning they're just opening. What do you feel is a good entry point or focus for people that are just having their first opening or awakening?
Well, I think it's useful to just associate yourself with people that are, that you have a natural interest in and learn, and just whatever you feel drawn to in spirituality or in personal growth, and whatever you read that sort of piques your interest, I think you'll naturally gravitate towards those things, those kind of books or those kind of groups or meetup groups or whatever it is, and you keep exploring it until you feel satisfied, and then you move on to the next thing. So if you like a certain life coach or a certain book, read it and mm-hmm. see where mm-hmm. that takes you. I don't know that there's any particular path or as far as spirituality goes, because there's so many. There's Buddhism and there's all sorts of paths you can take in spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think for me also, knowing the mental, emotional, or you know, psychological, working with the psyche, with the soul, some type of meditation, when you're talking a lot about also reflection, self-reflection, I think that is such a big part.
Reflection, sure, absolutely. Meditation, yeah. I would say, was one of the biggest things for me that really opened me up. So I took a mindfulness meditation class at the University of Massachusetts, and that was very helpful, very difficult. But mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be a hypnotist, so I did that as well. So that was really good for me. So I do, and it's very much like meditation. So I do highly recommend, like you just said, just close your eyes and see what's behind your eyelids, look inside yourself. I think that's probably one of the most important things anyone can do.
Mm-hmm. Be open to the opening. You open through meditation. And I love hypnotherapy. I trained in that as well in the mid to late 90s. There are various forms, and I actually feel that that's like the anything that's using that state of mind, that awareness, is the new wave of therapy. I think anything that encompasses that, you just cut through so much. It's very, very powerful. It can be very powerful processes. And I had a teacher once tell me, it's what you do with it. I had a teacher once that said, well, it's not so much getting in that state, that hypnotic state, it's what do you do when, it's what happens in that state, which I thought was kind of profound.
Yeah, very true. And there's so many different types of meditation. There's guided meditations. And so, mm-hmm. and I think there's many spiritual tools. There's yoga. There's all sorts of things that you can use. I have a friend of Lana's who's an energy healer who does healing codes, and she's sort of a counselor to me. And she swears by the healing codes, and for most of us, mm-hmm. we do need to be healed. Even me, I still have tremendous issues that I'm working through. So, I think we all do, and
I don't think it's not over. There's always more. There's always a little more. There's residue. But I've gotten to like it now. I'm humorous about it. It's like, oh, God, here you go. Oh, okay, wow, learning one more. There we go, deep healing.
Yeah.
Let's go again. Let's go, right?
Oh, the tests and challenges never end, and that's just part of life. I go by the spiritual warrior principle, philosophy of life, which all these things, mysticism and the spiritual warrior philosophy, mean everybody has their own meaning and definition for these things, so... I've written about what mine are, so that just belief systems, I think, are just life coping or life management strategies, really. They help you get through life successfully. Any kind of religion or philosophy or spiritual philosophy, whatever it is you use in life, it's really a winning strategy that you use to be successful in whatever you do.
I so agree with that. Boy, that's because they change. you know, as you grow, ultimately they're going to be changing.
Mm-hmm. It does. That's evolution, spiritual evolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, we're out of time. It's been wonderful to connect with you. And thanks for answering that question, too, for our listener. That was, you know, so great. I've loved talking with you because you have that detective, private investigator. You've got the very kind of earth, what's happening in the material plane on that dynamic. And then the spiritualist and metaphysical aspect. So it's been a wonderful sharing.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on the show again.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we'll have to have you on Universal Soul Love sometime. Send me a chat message or something.
Yes, okay, that'd be great. All right, David.
Yeah.
Much peace. Take care.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye.
Blessings. All right, and that was David Love. Find out more information by going to universalsoullove.com. What a wonderful sharing. And thanks to all of you that hung in there through our, I don't know, computer, internet glitch, whatever happened. And hope in that gap of happening that you either had a little chuckle, a little laugh, a little peace, a little calm, whatever. Hope it was enjoyable program for you today. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And the first half of the program, we do call in and readings and questions and do a bit of awakening dialogue and sharing. So if you didn't get your question answered today, please call back in next week. And we're here every Wednesday, like I said. And if you have any guest suggestions, topic suggestions, please email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Have a great rest of the week and a fabulous weekend, and I'll see you here next week. Lots of love and light.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.